Happy Birthday, Mr. President is a production of Big Four Enterprises, copyright 2020. I'm your host, Jeff Myers.
And I'm your co-host, Carissa Slate.
Our creative director is Shelby Myers, and our senior writer is Evan Myers. This is Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Well, I am joined live via satellite by our creative director, Shelby Myers. Hi, Shelby.
Hello. Hey.
I am so glad that you're able to fill in on this episode of Happy Birthday, Mr. President. And like I always do, give a shout out to all the listeners. I mean, it is blowing me away how many people are listening to our podcast all over the country, all over the world. It's incredible.
So, yeah, it's really amazing. It's so cool.
It is. And we are celebrating the 285th birthday of John Adams, the second president of the United States. He is an old dude.
Old dude.
Yes, he was born on October 30th, 1735, in Braintree, Massachusetts. Did you know they renamed the city Braintree? It's now Quincy, Massachusetts.
Oh, after his son.
Probably after his son, yes. And it's, you know, these episodes with these really old presidents are very interesting. And but what's even more interesting is how you can draw parallels to our presidents throughout history to even today. And we'll get into that in the show as we go. But
okay.
John Adams, you know, when he was a young boy, he wasn't a very good student. He didn't like to study. He preferred to hunt and fish. That's what he liked to do. So, you know, if you were looking, where's John? Where is John? Well, he's down by the fishing hole, or he's out hunting for squirrels or something like that. Yeah. And he did attend college. He went to Harvard College. And, Harvard's been around for a very long time. And when he first went there, he went there to be a minister, because his dad was a minister.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. And he graduated from Harvard in 1755 when he was 20 years old, and he decided, I'm going to law school. So he went to Worcester College and studied law. And so he's another president who's a lawyer.
Yep. Surprise, surprise. Another lawyer as a president.
Yeah. And so he met this, he saw this young lady, and he went, and her name was Abigail Smith. Do you know Abigail Smith?
Oh, Abigail Smith later become Abigail Adams.
Yeah, well,
she's my kind of woman. She's a strong, independent woman.
Wow.
She's feisty.
Well, he married Abigail on October 25th, 1764 in Weymouth, Massachusetts, when he was 28 years old. And they had five children. And one of those children was John Quincy Adams, who was the sixth president of the United States. So
yeah.
John and John Quincy are the only father-son duo other than George H.W. and George W. Bush, who were presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of John Adams' cousins was Samuel Adams.
Oh.
And I wonder if he brewed beer. So maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but let's say he did. So I'm the host, so I'm going to say he did. And one of John Adams' law clients was John Hancock.
Wow.
The guy, you know, he signed really big on the Declaration of Independence, so King George wouldn't have to take off his spectacles. So, yeah. Now, there's something really, really interesting about John Adams as an attorney. Now, you've heard of the Boston Massacre, correct?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Well, it happened on March 5th of 1770. So this is a time in our country when there's a lot of things going on in the Revolutionary War. And these British soldiers killed five colonists. They just shot them. And it was Captain Thomas Preston. He was a British captain. And eight soldiers were arrested, and they were charged with murder because they had shot these colonists.
Yeah.
Well, no lawyer wanted to take the case, and John Adams said, I'll take the case. He defended these British soldiers. And Captain Preston, and five of the men were actually acquitted, and two were convicted of manslaughter. Now, how interesting was that John Adams defended British soldiers?
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's good to know that our legal system has been around for that long, and hopefully justice was served. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, John Adams' political career, he was a Massachusetts delegate to the Continental Congress, and he was in the Continental Congress from 1774 to 1777. And one of the things that he was appointed to do, along with Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, was to draft the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, he did.
Now, that's pretty... As my niece, Allie, would say, that's fatchy. That's fatchy. And John worked 15-hour days. Now, can you imagine working a 15-hour day back in the late 1700s?
No, I cannot.
It must have been just...
I can barely make it through like an 8-hour day, so...
That's exactly right. It's tough to get through an 8-hour day. He was doing basically 2 days in one.
So, that's crazy.
Well, he was also the commissioner to France in 1778, the minister to the Netherlands in 1780, and minister to England in 1785.
So was he in France the same time that Thomas Jefferson was in France?
They were, yes. They were in France at about the same time, yes. And so in the... he was elected, he was the election of 1800, had to get my dates right, election of 1800, he ran against Thomas Jefferson. And back then, I take that back. I'm all confused. It was the election of 1796. He ran against George Washington, or he was named vice president under George Washington. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty easy, shut and close case for George Washington to be the first president. And John Adams was the vice president from 1789 to 1787. Now, this is kind of funny here that apparently John Adams was not a very tall guy. In fact, he was 5'7" and he weighed 200 pounds. And his nickname was his rotundity. So... Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And
back then, too, the vice president was whoever came in second.
That's exactly right. And I think, though, the first one, which was him, he was actually picked. So, selected.
Yeah.
But being in vice president, this is what John Adams said. He said, "My country has in its wisdom contrived for me the most insignificant office that ever the invention of man contrived or his imagination conceived." So apparently being vice president was like nothing. And in fact, President Washington never consulted Adams on anything of substance, and he only saw him at social functions.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was around this time that it was the creation of political parties through the work of Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. Now you're a theater teacher, right?
And we're watching in my classes this week. We're watching Hamilton.
That is outstanding.
Like, freshly watched it.
That is outstanding. Yeah. Well, it was back in 1800 that the political party started, and so what I was saying about our country's history is we have two major political parties today. This all started back in 1800, and it was very interesting. So John Adams, when he became president, it was the election of 1796. Now I'm getting my dates right. John Adams was elected by the Electoral College. There was no popular vote, and he defeated Thomas Jefferson 71 votes to 68 votes, and then Jefferson became the vice president. So that's where you were saying who came in second. So, yeah, you were exactly right. John Adams served just one term from March 4th, 1797 to March 4th of 1801. And there were a couple things that were during John Adams' term that were very, very controversial, I think even to this day. The Alien Act of 1798, there were a lot of immigrants coming into the United States, and there was great concern. A lot of them were Catholics. A lot of them were from Europe. And the Alien Act of 1798 made it more difficult for immigrants to become citizens.
Oh, so, no.
Now, doesn't that draw some parallels to today? That there's,
yeah,
there's
it does.
A lot of concern about that. And then there was also the Sedition Act of 1798. Now, get this one, Shelby. It was illegal to print articles that were false, scandalous, and malicious about the government. And so there were some Republican newspaper publishers that were actually arrested for what they wrote in their newspapers.
Now, whoa.
Now tell me what has happened today recently with our social media, the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter. Doesn't it
right.
sound like the exact same thing about
yeah.
a censorship and that sort of thing? So
you gotta be careful.
It's very interesting, you know, and it goes back to the 1800. Well, the election of 1800 came along, and John Adams actually lost to Thomas Jefferson
mm-hmm.
and the guy named Charles Pinckney. Adams came in third, and he was the incumbent. So it was the election of 1800 that John Adams came in third, and then he was no longer president. So
yeah. Well, in the musical Hamilton, they talk about how much of a mess the Adams administration was.
It was.
So the fact that he came in third and he was the incumbent, like, that just goes to show that he was not a popular president.
I think most people thought they didn't like John Adams, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams did not like each other.
No, you're right.
At all.
They did not get along at all, so. Well, we are at that time of our show. It's time for True or False. And, oh, Shelby, you're going to love these. Oh, we just love this theme song. So I've got six true or false questions here. I think you're going to do pretty good on these. So, all right.
I'm ready for it.
So Shelby's getting ready for true or false questions. Okay, I've got the buzzers ready, so we're going to see if you're right or wrong on these. I think you're going to be right. Here's our first one. John Adams was the first president of the United States to attend Harvard. True or false?
True.
Yep, you're right. It's true. They're not trick questions, Shelby.
I was like, did George Washington go to Harvard? I don't know.
No. All right, here's our second one. John Adams was the first president of the United States to live in the White House. True or false?
That's true.
Yes, you're right. That's true. It's actually called the Executive Mansion back then.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. Now, our listeners of Happy Birthday, Mr. President would know from our last episode on Theodore Roosevelt that it was Theodore Roosevelt who coined the term White House. And it was from that point. But yeah, it was the Executive Mansion. So, all right. Here's our third true or false question. John Adams was one of two presidents to die on the 4th of July.
That's true, too.
No, that's false. It's a trick question. There were actually three.
What? What?
Yeah, there were actually three. Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe also died on the 4th of July. Yeah. I had to make up something that wasn't true.
Yeah, but John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died, like, on the same day.
Literally on the same
day. Literally, like, hours apart.
Yes. Okay. Here is our fourth true-false question. I think you're going to get this one right. John and Abigail sent emails to one another daily while they were apart. True or false? Yeah, you're right. But they did write, emails, come on. They did write letters to each other daily when John was in Philadelphia in the Continental Congress and also when he was in France. So, yeah.
That's, like something that they were known for was to each other all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I think is really cool is that I saw that in one of the letters that Abigail wrote to John was, like, when like when they were drafting the Declaration of Independence, she asked him, like, basically to like include women.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're right. And she was like, you know, I don't want, like, we've gotten to a point where like men have kind of unlimited power, and so please remember that like women are here and yeah. like.
So, so Abigail Adams actually was one of the first suffragettes in our nation's history. Very good, Shelby. Very good. Yeah. Let's move on to our next true or false question. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson are the only president and vice president to be in opposing political parties in American history.
That sounds false.
No, actually, that's true.
Really?
Yes. John Adams, and I can't remember their part. Oh, here it is. John Adams was a Federalist, Alexander Hamilton, and Thomas Jefferson was a Democratic Republican. So you had the president in one party and the vice president in a different party. That, boy, you think that made for some awkward conversations?
That's so interesting that Adams and Hamilton were in the same political party because they hated each
yeah,
other.
Yeah. Well, we all know how it turned out for Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's our next true or false question. John Adams is the longest lived president at 90 years, 253 days. True or false?
That's false. I know Jimmy Carter's older than that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Actually, Ronald Reagan right now, you know what? I might have made a mistake. Our listeners are going to have to fact check me on this because this could be fake news, and we're not about fake news here. Happy birthday!
We're not about it.
No, but Ronald Reagan lived 93 years, 119 days. Gerald Ford lived 93 years, 120 days, and George H.W. Bush lived 94 years and 171 days. So, actually, I think Carter actually is longer. These are the ones that died.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Carter will be on that list. But yeah, that's very good. See, I told you you'd be good at these. All right, here is our last true-false question. John Adams fired his Secretary of State, Timothy Pickering, for conspiring against him with Alexander Hamilton.
True?
Yes, that is true. So there's that hatred between Adams and Alexander Hamilton because Timothy Pickering said, let's go get him. And actually, Timothy Pickering is the only Secretary of State to have been directly fired by the President of the United States. In our nation's history, he's the only one.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So, well, after John Adams got out of the White House, and he was out of the White House for a long time because he lived until he was 90 years old.
Yeah.
He spent 25 years reading and writing and also corresponding with Thomas Jefferson, believe it or not.
Huh.
They wrote a lot of letters to one another, I guess. Back then, I guess they didn't have emails or text messages or phones, and so they had to write letters.
Right, so they had to write it out.
Yeah. So I bet it took a while. So, well, anyway, so his wife, who he called Portia, did you know that, Abigail?
I did not know that.
Called her Portia. She died, I don't think it was the car that she drove. I think it was... I think it was just his nickname for her. She died in 1818 when she was 74 years old. So he actually lived, another 16 years after his wife died. His son, John Quincy Adams, became president of the United States in 1824. So John got to see his son, John Quincy, become the president. And he got sick. And now if your sister was here, our co-host, Carissa Slate, I would say, now you're a doctor, right? And she'd go, yeah. John Adams got pneumonia and he had a weak heart. He died on July 4th, 1826 in Braintree, Massachusetts, or now Quincy, at age of 90. Do you know what his last words were?
Like Thomas Jefferson lives on or something like that.
Yes, very good. His It was actually Thomas Jefferson still survives, although Jefferson had died hours earlier, and it was the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
I remember that from the Thomas Jefferson episode.
Yes. Very good. I'm so glad you paid attention. And it has been so great to have you as my co-host on this episode as we celebrate the 285th birthday of John Adams. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Yay, we did it. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope that you'll join us for our next episode as we celebrate the birthday of yet another President of the United States. Thank you, Shelby. It's great to see you. I'm going to turn the satellite off now. Bye.
Okay. Bye.